Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, man?
You a podcast fan?
I am.
Yeah, you going to the LA Podfest?
I'm going, man. I can't wait.
Did you hear about Sideshow Network's special event?
I'm not so sure. Tell me more.
Well, it's Thursday night, September 17th at the world-famous Hollywood Improv.
Okay.
And there's going to be live podcasts from Before You Were Funny on the Feral Audio Network, plus a special performance of Improv for Humans with UCB's Matt Besser.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Also, one of Sideshow's own shows, Why Didn't They Laugh with Owen Benjamin, is also performing.
Oh, man, he's so funny.
And sex nerd Sandra from The Nerdist.
What?
Tickets are only $10, so there's no excuse not to be there.
I'm there, man.
And are you going to the LA Podfest already?
I am going. I'm going.
And you have a weekend pass?
The whole weekend, of course.
Then you can get in for free.
What?
Go to hollywood.improv.com to get your tickets and reserve your spot.
I'm going now.
That's hollywood.improv.com.
I'll see you there, man. September 17th.
Woo!
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
I know we've been talking about driving with Uber a bunch lately, but I can't stress enough how great of an opportunity this is. Do it. If you're stuck in a 9-to-5, if you're looking for a job in between your school schedule, if you want a 9-to-4... or a 8-to-7, or a 1-to-2. It doesn't have to be a 9-to-5. Pick whatever numbers you want and then put a 2 in the middle. If you want to make extra cash, driving with Uber is for you. If you have a car and a license, you are already ready to start making thousands of dollars every month. And when you drive with Uber, you are your own boss. Well, technically, your car is your boss, but it's a tool for you. I don't know. You're going to also need highways, so that comes from the government. There's a whole web of bosses. But you're pretty much your boss. That means you decide who to pick up, where to drive, and when to work. You do whatever you want to do, and you get paid for it. It's kind of like being a comic podcast guy. The Uber smartphone app connects you with a friendly rider who needs a reliable way to get from point A to point B. And maybe also to point C and point D. Maybe you develop like a good working relationship with someone and you get all the way to Z. The fare is automatically charged to their credit card. There's no cash, no hassle. What are you waiting for? Start driving with Uber today. Not tomorrow, today. You could do it tomorrow or the next day, but that's 2 days of not driving with Uber that you just wasted. Start making money. Sign up to drive at drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com, which looks a lot like a period, com, C-O-M. Drivewithuber.com. Do it. Football season's only just begun, but it already feels like playoffs at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where millionaires are being crowned all season long. One-week fantasy at DraftKings means no season-long commitments. It's fantasy football on demand. Play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. Every single week feels like the Super Bowl. Like, for example, this last week, who played Peyton Manning? They won. But did they really win? Because if you played Peyton, you didn't win, and it pissed me off. It must be pretty bittersweet when a team wins, but the quarterback knows that he kind of should have had more touchdowns and not relied on the defense so much in field goals. But these are the kind of calls that you're going to be making week in, week out. Make every week that exciting. And with $1 million up for grabs, every game is the big game. Every play matters. Peyton, Manning. So first and 10 in the first quarter feels like fourth and goal with 1 second left. And a long touchdown run could mean more than just a victory for your favorite team. It could mean you've just turned your love of football into a $1 million payday. Peyton Manning, listen to this ad, please. And next time, you know, just... This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com and use promo code LAUGH, spelled A-L-A-U-G-H. Don't know why there's a G in LAUGH. There should be just an F, but I'm an auditory learner. L-A-U-G-H. Play for free for a shot at $1 million in this week's Millionaire Maker event. Enter LAUGH for free entry now, only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that is DraftKings.com.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
So I just sat down with my friend, Leo Flowers, and he pointed out that this table is very adversarial.
Adversarial, man. It's a square. You go to Japan, they have everything circular, so everybody's on the same page.
Then why are the Japanese so adversarial?
You know why? Because I think they're saving it for war, right? It's like that, and that's why they're good at war, because they get along amongst themselves. They have great communication.
Right.
Then when it's time for war, it's like we're sitting at a square table.
It's a switch. How do they?
It's kind of like, you know, like relationships. Like you ever date a girl and she's like, she's normal at work, and then she come home and she's crazy at home. And you're like,
yeah.
She's nothing like this at work.
Yeah, it's kind of like the homophobic dudes. They're always like kind of like they, as soon as they can, they'll suck dicks.
Right. They get a little drunk during Cabo.
Yeah. 1 minute it's like, these faggots can't marry. And then after like three Jenny Cream right, ales, right. They're like, do you want to go swimming nude?
Yeah, they join a fraternity, right, for the brotherhood.
Yeah, the haze.
Yeah.
And it's only gay if you come first. Yeah, but the Japanese, now they don't have an army, though. So what do they do with all that rage?
Man, they put anime, man. Come on, man. They're over there.
Tentacle porn?
To, like, anime. And have you been to Japan? You've been to Japan.
No,
right?
I've never been to Japan.
Oh, it's freaky over there. Like, they have hotels that are just sex hotels. Like, it's like people, it's a regular looking hotel, but you just go in for like a 30 minute, you know, whatever. And then they have vending machines where you can get girls' panties.
No way.
And it's a regular thing. It's as regular as like getting a Coca-Cola. Like seeing a Coca-Cola machine, they have like panty machines over there.
Are they used panties? Or because you could just go buy panties.
You can
panties.
Get used panties. I think, I want to say they're used. Don't quote me on that one.
It's got, if they're not used, that then you would just go shopping at like Target for panties if you really like panties, right?
Right. So I would assume that these are used.
These guys are so wound up.
That's why you got to fight, man. That's why I don't like Portland. Portland is just so nice. I'm like, well, if somebody just punched you in the face or bumped in, like New York.
Well, my new thing, I'm going to start slapping people.
You have to.
Like, whenever someone, whenever someone is like, I don't appreciate, just right in their face.
Right in the face.
Yeah. It just stops. Because the dudes would just be like, what? They'd probably start crying.
Yeah, just walk away. It just ends everything. Why? You should be able to slap somebody in the face. But you should have to go to class for it, because you hit somebody in the ear, you could deafen them. You
is
know,
that true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know it makes you. I've been.
You could disorient them.
Yeah, I've been dizzy. It makes me. Oh, yeah. I've been made dizzy. But,
yeah.
But you can go deaf from getting hit in the ear.
Definitely practice your slapping.
Definitely.
Yeah. Did you see was that double entendre? Is that how they say that?
I don't know. Was double entendre like a war? Wasn't that a.
Double it.
What was the entendre thing? Is that World War II? I don't know.
Entendre? That sounds like a girl. Entendre?
What's up, entendre?
Entendre. entendre don't. Okay.
Want to know what else the Japanese do to deal with their crazy rage?
Yeah.
Is they're all about symmetry and like fish and apples and shit. They'll pay like $60,000 for like a perfectly symmetrical tuna.
Dude,
they're wound up.
I flew Japan Air because I performed for the troops over there in Japan.
Yeah.
I swear to God, every stewardess looked the same.
They must love you over there. They must be like, oh, big black American.
I was like Jordan, Barkley. I was like, is this what it was like for Jordan in like the 90s? You know what I'm saying?
Were they
like,
just giggly? All the girls were giggly?
Straight. It was stereotypical. Literally, like, I was walking through the airport and girls would like hide behind like the post. I'm like, hee. And then like duck back when I looked around.
Was it like that South Park episode? It was like, big American penis.
I'm like, dude. I mean, this was like 3 years ago. I'm right. Like, I'm surely you've seen enough black dudes where like I should not be an anomaly, but apparently not. I'm still.
A lot of countries don't have the diversity that we have.
But they got a lot of military bases over there. That's why I thought
true.
You know, it would be normal, and it was in an airport. But you're right. A lot of places aren't diverse. Is why their school systems are better than ours.
Explain.
Because you think about it, like everybody's like shitting on American school systems, but we take in everybody.
Right.
No matter what country you're from, no matter what language you speak. So, of course, if we have a bunch of people who English is not their first language.
Right.
It's going to mess up our curve.
I know. I hate when people give Sweden all this credit. when they're like, let's be more like Sweden. They have like universal health. I'm like, yeah, there's like 100 people and they all look the same.
All look the same. They're not let it, like, they're like the private schools.
They're like
of
all related.
Countries. Yeah. Nobody gets in.
Right.
You know what I mean? America's like a big public school. We let everybody in. So yeah, that's gonna affect a few math and English scores. Sorry.
Yeah.
But we're innovative as fuck because we do let everybody in.
I like that we let everybody in.
That's right. Everybody.
Makes me feel good. What do you think about Trump being against the Mexicanos?
Oh my God! Listen, should we even give him any airtime? Like this is he?
I think the deal with Trump is people are just so fed up with PC that they're willing to go with a madman. You know, he's almost like the Joker.
Right, right.
Where it's like people are so sick of what is happening that they'll listen to this mad dog.
But what's crazy is that like Obama has done a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I do a bit now about how being president is, you should never tell it like it is. Like, that's insane. That's
no,
what, like, Bill
can't.
Burr's for.
Right.
You need their middle management, and that's why Obama's so good at it, because it's basically like he's an Applebee's manager. It's like,
yeah.
We'll change the soup. You don't like the soup? We'll do good. You know, like, he's just fucking keeping everyone chill.
He keeps it
all Trump's
chill.
Like, fuck you, cunt. It's gazpacho. It's supposed to be cold.
Yeah, you can't tell it. You can't tell them the truth. It's just like a parent has kids, right?
Yeah.
The parent cannot tell the kids the real truth as to what's going on in a marriage. And
right,
and
right.
And their finances.
Mommy isn't sucking daddy's cock anymore.
Right.
No, you're supposed to just be like, everything's good.
Everything's
unicorns.
Good. That's right. You can't tell them about the fact that you might get fired. Everything is good to the kids, all right?
Gotta.
But we gotta trust you as parents to make everything good, not to be trying to screw over the kids.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
Is that we got parents who are trying to screw over the kids.
Right. It's gotta be like the basic problems, like mommy's not sucking daddy.
Right.
It can't be like, why has daddy got a needle in his arm? It's like, because daddy wants to go to the magical Narnia place in his head.
Right.
Like it can't be like
major shit.
Major
it can't
shit.
Be like World War Z. Like, I know Elon Musk is crazy. And I was thinking that because he's talking about going to Mars. And,
yeah.
And Stephen Colbert is like, how do we go to Mars? Like, you can't live there. And he's like, well, all you got to do is heat it up. And Steven's like, well, how do you heat it up? He's like, well, just nuke it. And to him, that's a very reasonable thing to do.
I don't see why people want to go to Mars. I just interviewed Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian for this other podcast I'm doing with a bunch of physics guys.
Yeah.
And that dude's fucking hilarious in the sense that he, like, he's so dry, he doesn't realize how funny he is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why'd the chicken cross the road? It's like, well, the vector is, you know, they're just so. And it's
too
like,
academic.
Why go to fucking Mars? Like, why not just work on, like, Greenland?
Right. Or Detroit.
Yeah, like, fix up.
Compton. Fix up two blocks from here.
Like, we already have oxygen and water.
We have everything.
It's like, why go change? Neil deGrasse Tyson was talking about that. Like, why terraform? Or was it him or Bill Nye? One of those guys was
it
like.
It was Neil deGrasse. Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, why, like, terraform? It's like, we already have a Terra. Like,
yeah,
this is it.
This is it. If you think about all the money, the billions of dollars we've put into exploring the moon, Mars, all that, if we had put that into just cleaning up the world, cleaning up all these landfills out there. They have these, it's like a trash island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's problem solved.
I think we need more female leadership. I think we need more male and female. And I think women have to stop being so fucking reactionary to like old feminism.
Well, what do you think about Hillary then?
She doesn't really. I don't know. On that level, they're all bought and sold. That's not even what I'm talking. Like, they're all like, it's like, am I voting for Bank of America or Wells Fargo?
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm just talking about that. Like, I feel like women have a better sense. Like, dudes are more like
aggressive.
Yeah, we'll go to the moon if like Russia's gonna. It's like, oh, you think you got a dick? I got a bigger dick.
Right, right.
And women seem to be more like long term thinky, unless they're reactionary to trying to compete with men, then they're almost worse.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a weird thing. I think we should all just get really into our genders and work together better.
But I think that's what makes Hillary a good candidate, is because I feel like she is probably a little bit more aggressive and would, you know, it's competitive like that.
Right.
But Bill is kind of like, you know, why don't we just, you know, like Bill's,
yeah, Bill's
just
always
chill.
Just draining his balls.
Yeah.
So I was like, I believe, don't touch it. It's sensitive.
Yeah, I think, Hillary definitely.
Well, yeah, and, I mean, and compared to the Republican, I mean, who else are you going to?
There's nobody
it's
else.
It's like, who else? You got Trump.
I'm not voting
Trump
for
is
Ben
a fucking,
Carson.
Trump is a monopoly piece.
Yeah.
He's literally like a cliche.
He hosted a reality show. What the f-
I
Come
know.
On,
it's it's like, if you're going to go entertainer, yeah. I vote Jimmy Fallon. Because I think that dude has this way. He almost talks like he's trying to make his parents not get divorced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, hey, Russia, remember when we beat the Nazis? How great was that? Remember? Isn't that great? Like that vibe. If you're going to go entertainer, right. Go with a unifier, not a divider. Like Trump's right. All about like, you're fired, bitch. Yeah. And then everyone focuses in on the tears. Like Fallon's more like, hey, Justin Timberlake's going to do a song for you, Sri Lanka. You know, it's like you want that shit at the UN.
What the whole, oh, at the UN.
Yeah, because yeah, I mean, it's like Fallon is like, if you're going to be a president.
He should be like the House Speaker.
Yeah, where he's just like, hey, everyone, who likes ice cream, right? You know, because because it's like, you can't really hate the guy. Even people that don't like, it's like Obama. It's like some people hate Obama, I guess, but like, he's just, people are just like, ah, fuck, all right. Because it's like, he doesn't really say anything that charged. He's just kind of like, yep, okay, good, rock. Yep.
You know who Obama reminds me of? He reminds me of Kobe. And I, that's a weird, but I was just thinking about
like
it.
Like he raped a chick in Colorado?
Yeah, right. We don't know about it yet.
I'm just joking.
It's possible.
I mean, haven't we all? I'm
just or been, you know, anyway.
I'm just kidding, everyone. Everything I just said was a joke. Some people, oh, by the way, that's I figured out that some people that can't understand context, they have mild autism.
You're right.
Yeah, because I've done jokes like that before, that's and funny. People are like, you raped a girl in Colorado. And it's like, no, context means I didn't. You understand sarcasm? And they're right. Like, no. It's almost like that dude from Guardians of the Galaxy where they don't understand context.
Right.
And
it's
so
like, it's like
that's
Canadians.
Why. Sometimes I have to. Like, one time someone was like, talking about slavery or something, and I'm like, a simpler time. And they're like, you believe? I'm like, obvious sarcasm. You know what I mean? It's like, you know me. Like, are you fucking serious?
But at the same time, you know, people either responding, they don't get the context or they're just responding to the word.
Yeah.
Say like you have a really smart rape joke, right? And yeah. It's not even about rape, but just the fact that you say rape, people go, oh, and they don't hear anything else. All they heard was the word rape, and immediately.
Yeah, it's our reptilian brain. You ever read about that shit?
Absolutely.
Like, all this stuff that has to navigate. Fight or flight before it gets to thinking.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like how people perceive. It's like, it's almost like you need this capsule, this sugar cube to get the medicine through the brain somehow. It's this weird navigation process.
Well, I mean, you even see it in like relationships. It's like people just like everybody's fighting their need for either like safety or like adventure, or like
right.
You know, like intensity and stuff like that, and that's the best part, reptilian, of like your brain becomes reactive to, I just want to be safe, I just want that, and then you see something you like and you want to go grab that, even though it might sacrifice everything that you just built, you know?
Yeah, totally, man. Well, there's also a thing, position versus interest.
Oh.
Where if someone has an interest, let's say someone, I saw this so much with the Confederate flag, where it's like, your interest is like what you want, and then your position is what position you hold. And when that starts becoming more ego-driven, people can go directly against their own interests just based on winning.
Right, right.
Where I would know people from the South that were like good people and like progressive and not at all fuck-ups.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, no, we want to fly our flag. And because their position became a reaction to being called stupid, that like they were going against their interest, which is to be like a better person and not like alienate everyone.
Right.
So it became more about, because a lot of people's rhetoric is like, the South is a bunch of redneck hillbilly fucking retarded people, and they're like, fuck you, we'll raise our flag, you know, but they're not even thinking about interest, they're thinking position, where it's like,
it's kind of like Republicans and Democrats. It's
100%.
Like, even if a Republican candidate says something stupid, the fact that you're Republican, you're going to vote for him and stick by him, and you know, you're not even looking at the issue at hand. Like, does this even make sense?
Yeah, you know? Oh, totally. It's like cable providers. It's like, I don't want the Oxygen Channel. Like, but I'm a DirecTV guy, so that's the deal.
That's the deal. It just comes with it.
You there can't it pick and choose. Like, I want to be like, no, these are the five channels I want. I don't want these. It's like, no, you're stuck with those. You know, you love your grandpa, but he fucking, you know, hits people sometimes.
And slowly but surely, you watch more and more of the Oxygen Channel.
I know. And then you're all like, of a sudden, she
you know
snapped.
What? I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
And then you start DVRing Snap, and it's one of your favorite shows. And you do a 10-minute bit on it because you're fucking obsessed with it. That's what happens.
And then you snap.
Yeah. So, okay, Kobe. So how is Obama like Kobe?
In that, because Obama doesn't say anything to, like, offend people. Like, you know, people are like, well, we want this, we want that. And Obama's like, all right, this is, you know, this is cool, blah, blah, blah. But then he always... His actions speak louder than his words. It's like, yeah. He'll say yes to your face, but really he's going to go and do this thing.
Right.
And like when I read articles about Kobe, like Phil Jackson would be like, all right, Kobe, this is what I need you to do. And Kobe would be like, yeah, I'll do it. And then he gets on the court and he does his own thing.
Yeah.
And so I see Obama
like being a writer
like
in Hollywood.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Obama's just like, listen, I don't have to argue with you because he understands his power.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can say whatever to your face, but... At the end of the day, you know, he's confident in his ability to get things done, and he knows he doesn't have to go through you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, about so, what you need to engage. Because I think when the internet first came out, people had this hard time with engaging with trolls. I still face it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Obama's good at not troll hunting anymore.
Right.
Because someone could be like, fuck you, Obama. And he's just like, yes, you said, okay.
And
just
yep, Teflon. Keep it stepping.
Because you don't need to engage unless you plan on being in a relationship with that person, whether it's a friendship or a business partnership or a girlfriend or wife. If you don't have to maintain, you can just walk away.
Walk away.
It's like the homeless person that's like comes at you and is like, you know, my mom's in this orange juice. You can't be like, your mom isn't in the orange juice. You just keep walking.
Just keep walking. Which is, I think that's why women do get upset when you're in an argument and then you try to walk away because she's like, does he not care anymore?
Right.
And they
have meltdowns.
And in your head, you're like, I'm walking away because I do care. And I don't want this to escalate.
I don't
want to
be labeled abusive.
Absolutely. Right.
Because apparently tone means it's a sort of form of violence.
Absolutely. The cops get called. And if there's a man and a woman, the guy goes.
Guy goes. We get...
And I'm a brother, so, you know, I'm going quick. I'm going...
Do you think that happens?
What happens?
That
brothers
you're more
get
like,
arrested? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right. Of course. No, but I'm saying in that scenario, do you think that like a black dude is more likely to get arrested than a white dude? Or do you think it's just dudes pulled?
All right. I think here's a chain of a man will always get pulled before a woman, right?
Yeah.
He's going to get pulled. A black man's going to get pulled faster than a white man.
Do you think it matters if the girl's white or black?
And now, if a black man is with a white woman... Boom. That man, he
adios.
Gets sent
first
to
degree
like
murder.
Russia. There's no questions asked. Like you're breaking bricks in like.
Dude, they're sending you to Mars as a nuke bomb.
Done, yo.
Elon Musk.
They're going to put a GoPro on your forehead and they're going to send you to Mars.
Okay, what about black guy with Latin woman?
Ooh. They're gonna ask. They're gonna sort it out first because it could go either way. Because Latin women are very fiery.
Yeah.
Now with gay marriage, it gets tricky.
Oh, with two dudes.
Two dudes. Two yeah, white
the,
dudes.
Are the cops like, oh, excuse me, which one's
torn.
The bottom?
Yeah. Right.
And the bottom, the top always goes.
Well, the bottom is crying.
Right, the bottom's totally crying.
And the top is always like this, you know, like whatever the fuck, you know.
Yeah.
The top is one who opens the door.
Yeah. And the bottom's mascara smeared.
Yeah. Off in a corner somewhere. So.
But what if it's a power bottom and like a weak top?
Wow.
Yeah, what if it's some fucking crazy Navy SEAL guy that has this weird thing where he's a bottom for some reason, yeah. And but the top is this like HGTV host.
It's like some sadomasochistic.
Yeah.
I think then you have to go with, I think you just grab the person who's, you grab the person who's not crying.
Yeah, gay marriage, that's going to change the game
that's
for domestic violence
game,
stuff.
Yo.
Same with lesbians, like who goes?
Who goes? I think the one wearing flannel.
Real? What about Birkenstocks? What if one's flannel, one's Birkenstocks?
Damn, Doc. I think you go with the bigger ones. You go with the bigger chick. You got to grab the bigger chick.
Bigger as in muscular? I mean, Ronda Rousey versus... Wow. Yeah, because Ronda Rousey's smaller.
She's small.
But what if you got Ronda Rousey, Rosie O'Donnell?
Oh.
Ronda Rousey could beat up professional fighting males, but she's like a beautiful, like fairly petite person.
I don't know, man. Some camera angles, she's not that cute. In Entourage, she was hot, though.
Yes, yeah, I like her. I think she's fucking. I think she's dope.
She's cool, definitely. Like, would I hang out with her?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. But Rosie,
not so much.
But she's so huge, though.
She's massive.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Who would go to jail?
Whoever. I think it depends on the call.
Okay.
Probably the person who calls.
What if a polygamous? What if it's like three chicks and a dude? But the chicks were all beating up the dude, but who goes to jail then? And the dude threw one ass slap.
Oh, the dude's still going to jail.
Yeah, even if it's three against one?
Even if it's three against one. The guy's still going to jail. But what's crazier is what if the three girls, right, and then one dude, the dude gets in a fight with one chick. He maybe hits the girl, right? But then the other two girls say that he didn't do it. That she hit him first. I bet you she goes.
You think she goes?
Yeah.
But what if it's a black dude, all white chicks?
Oh, man, it's done. If it's a black dude, all white chicks, black dude goes. If it's a black dude, all black chicks, black dude goes. If it's just a black dude by himself, he goes.
What if
the black dude
if
black dude
if his
goes
dick calls
regardless.
Him masturbating?
It was if it's a black dude and three dinosaurs, black dude goes.
Like a velociraptor?
Yeah.
But what if it's that black dude from Community? What's that dude's name? Is he comic?
Community.
Yeah, he's like a pretty big comic. I can't believe I'm spacing on his name. But is it cultural black? Or is it...
Wait, are you talking to...
He was going to play Spider-Man or some shit? He's a stand-up?
Oh!
Who?
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. And white girl is Rosie O'Donnell. Who goes to jail?
Rosie's going to jail. Rosie definitely goes to jail.
Yeah, because I think...
She definitely... Because yeah. Donald's kind of effeminate, you know?
Right. And yeah. I think it's kind of a cultural thing. It's like black guy with cell phone on his belt. You know what I mean?
Right.
With like thick frame glasses and no pit bulls, just one chihuahua. Black
Pharrell, you describe him.
Yeah. His hat
Pharrell
goes
never
to jail.
Goes to jail. Pharrell never goes to jail.
No.
No matter who you pair him up with, that dude is free.
Do you think racism in this country is a lot of it is intimidation? Do you think the big dick stereotype kind of fucked black people a little bit?
Nah, I think it's all fear.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because it's like no one's as mad at Asians.
Nah,
because they don't have
Asians.
The fucking hammers.
I mean, you got to. Here's the thing. You got to think about this. You're a police officer,
right?
You're in the car for 10 hours a day.
Yeah,
10 hours. When's the last time you had a 10-hour commute? That's a 10-hour commute a day.
I tried to get to the airport from Culver City.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Right. 10 hours. So you got to think about it. A cop in a car
right.
for 10 hours every day. They're on swing shifts. So a lot of times they'll work like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and then 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And it alternates by week, right? And you're expecting this guy who's been trapped in a car for 10 hours. Minimum requirement to be a cop in most precincts is GED.
Right.
Two. Three, now you're messing up his sleep cycle. And
yeah, basically
you expect this guy to make the best decisions in handling a... first of all, you expect this guy to be the best communicator with the GED.
Right.
And the fact that he's like out of shape because he's been sitting in his car every day for 10 hours.
He's basically a roadie for the Rolling Stones and giving him a gun.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
You're just on tour, no sleep pattern.
Nothing.
Yeah, because I don't believe people are just like good or bad. Everything's so environmental.
It is. It absolutely is, man. If my sleep cycle's messed up for 2 days, I'm irritable.
Yeah, if I miss 20 minutes of sleep, I'm slapping Asians.
I'm telling you. I think cop cars should have, like, moodalizers, where you're like a breathalyzer.
Right.
You just have to breathe into the moodalizer to make sure you're in a good mood before you, like, start your shift.
Yeah, you have to listen to, like, either Fox News or MSNBC, like whatever you're not, and then it checks your heart rate to see if you get pissed off. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Or put in some Nora Jones or something.
Yeah.
Nora Jones.
I love Nora Jones. But what, what do you think it is? So you think it's fear-based?
It's all fear. Listen, you're an officer in an urban neighborhood, and now you might have to handle somebody physically. You're not in shape. You got a bad back. You've been sitting in your car for 10 hours.
Right.
So the last thing you want to do is get in a physical altercation with someone. And you haven't been given the verbal skills. That's the thing. I think one is fear-based of, like, you don't want to get hurt. You're going to get shot or, you know. And plus, like, when you become a cop, because I've talked to cops, that's the thing that they show all the cops is how a cop was afraid to pull his gun and then got shot. So it's all this fear mongering within a police precinct. And then the second part is like, most cops don't have the verbal skills to be able to de-escalate a situation or even recognize when they're escalated. So it's emotional intelligence we're talking about.
Totally.
Like when you look at that Sandra Bland thing, like, it's like, okay, yeah, she had attitude, but the cop should have toned his shit down.
Totally.
Like, when you're talking to your girl and she escalates a little bit, you know, like, all right, this is getting a little crazy.
It's so similar to being a comic. It's like if there's like some bad thing that happens on stage, if you take it personally,
you're going down a
I mean, that's what this whole podcast started with, me showing like all the bad roads you can go down from emotional triggers.
Absolutely.
Like, you take someone, one of my first episodes was about a guy who wouldn't take his feet off the stage, and you see me escalating.
Yeah.
And then I find out he's French and he can't speak English.
There it is.
Where it's like, you don't know what's happening behind the scenes. You don't know what they're reacting to. And I was just listening to some podcast about that. It's almost like, especially in black neighborhoods, that they're always told they're criminals. You don't know when their breaking point is, when they're like, you want to fucking fuck you guys.
Absolutely.
It's like, I think we were talking about this at Le Pan that one day about when a girl treats you like a cheater, eventually you're going to be like, I'm fucking.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I did a show like a couple years ago, and 2 minutes into my set, this guy in the front row goes, 2 minutes. And I was like, what? And he was like, you've been on stage 2 minutes and you haven't made me laugh. And so good thing I had just did yoga.
Right.
So like, I'm zen. You know what I mean? Because typically I probably would have just snapped on this dude.
Yeah.
But I go, is something wrong? And he's like, sorry, man. I just got fired and my wife left me.
Totally.
That quick.
Yeah.
Because I was so sincere.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this can't be about me.
Right. So I'm all right,
man.
It
can't be about me. And then the whole audience went, oh.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, he apologized.
Because it shows your confidence. It's
absolutely.
Like, hey, man, I know I'm good. In your head, you're like, I know I'm good, so it must not be the show. It must be about his interpretation of me.
Absolutely.
I just did an episode that came out today called The Taming of the Cunt. It's a Shakespeare's adaptation.
Okay.
Because, I mean, shrew, no one knows what shrew means. The Taming of the Shrew, that's an old Shakespeare play. So it's like, so I show the progression. I was just in Comedy on State, one of the best clubs in the country in Madison.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely.
And so there's this one lady, and I showed five different interactions with her and how it got to the point where I could say cunt and the crowd got behind me.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty interesting because it shows like that it's so she keeps derailing all the jokes, and it starts with me being empathetic and then me being supportive. And she's having fun. Even when I called her a cunt, she's like screaming in joy.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's once the audience starts groaning that their night is being ruined.
Absolutely.
You get the cunt green light.
Yes.
Because there's no other word but that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's, I think that bitch is more insulting in a bizarre way. Like, I feel almost worse when I'm like, that fucking bitch. Like, it sounds a little like aggressive.
Yeah.
Cunt to me is just, it's so over the top that it's like, and I'm around so many British people sometimes that I just get so desensitized to the shit.
Right.
So it shows like at what point, and it's when there's this, like, I think it was her seventh time when it got to the point where I started dancing around it, where I'm like, you know, I'm friends with the dude who writes Webster's Dictionary, and I texted him. I'm like, what is a cunt? And he's like, I'll send one tonight. You know, I started, right, and then they were laughing, so I'm just like, this one's for you, cunt. And then I played a song, and it, like, totally worked.
People loved it. You know what it is? I think cunt is nicer than bitch, because cunt, I think, is more descriptive of behavior.
Yes.
Like you're being a cunt as opposed to you're a bitch. Like,
right.
A bitch is more attacking your character. Like, it's who you are. Genetically, if we looked at your chromosomes, it would read out bitch.
It's you like know what soy I'm versus a stoy in Spanish.
Yeah.
Where it's like I am versus I am currently.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, like you are this means that's your label. You'll never get out of it.
Yeah.
You are being a cunt means you're down a fucking rabbit hole and we're all rooting for you to get out of it. And one time, I it was this interesting thing where someone was like, don't say cunt, you dick. And I was like, you just said dick.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you mean an attack based on genitalia, based on a gender? It's too funny.
People don't. Language is so, it's so important in everything that we do.
Yeah.
And we don't study it.
I think we need more words.
You think we need more words?
Yeah, because I think so many times people use a word because they don't know other words to do it with.
But do we need more words or are you saying we need more words like to add to the English vocabulary? Or do we need to learn vocabulary at a...
Well, I'm not think, sure what okay, you're saying.
Because I feel like we have enough words. Like,
yeah, that's
Webster's
true.
Webster's dictionary is pretty thick.
Yeah, but it's like, I think that we need words describing a subset of a culture or race that isn't rooted in all like historical craziness. Like, I think redneck is a little, I mean, I've said redneck, but it's like, it's a little fucking aggro. It's making fun of someone based on the fact they're a laborer.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of shit like that where you're like Jap, like people flip out of it. It's like, that's because of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same, like Chris Rock's joke, you can't even quote as a white person. It's like, I love black guys, I hate niggers. You know, it's
right,
like,
right.
And if you say that, it's like people are like, whoa, easy guy. It's like, no, but he's saying like it, you need like another word that means like the group that gives the group a bad name that has nothing to do with this old like anger
but,
shit.
But you know what? But eventually even that word would have a negative.
Yeah, that's what happened with midget.
It's kind of like, yeah, like midget or even.
Because that's
like,
what they used to be called. And then it just keeps becoming bad.
It becomes something else. Because even like take your name like Owen, right?
Right.
Like, Owen doesn't have any historical like negative connotation. But if somebody kept saying your name.
Right.
Eventually.
That's fucking Owen.
Yeah. Owen. Get over here, Owen. Put it down, Owen. So it's like if you say it enough times with a negative tone, eventually you'll start to hate your name.
Everyone needs Botox so that no one's eyebrows go down. Because that's what happened with Jew. Like Jew is the word. So many people are like Jew. That they're like people now are like suspicious. Suspicious of the word Jew, and
right.
That's like calling like orange juice. It's not even clut.
Nah.
And it's like, but it's like that fucking dirty orange juice.
They do that with kale now. Is that kale?
Kale.
You do yoga? Like, why'd you say it like that? Yoga?
Dude, South Park does the best job with words. Like the faggot episode where it's about Harley Davidson drivers.
Uh-huh.
You see that one where the kids started being like, you guys are faggots to the Harley Davidson guys. Uh-huh. And they started writing like faggots go home everywhere. And all the gay people are like, why would you say that? And they're like, we're sorry. We just don't like the loud muffler. And they had no clue that it used to mean gay people. And they're like, this young generation was like, no, faggot means someone who needs attention all the time, like Harley drivers. And the whole
hilarious show.
Yeah. And it's weird how like some generations will put their shit on a young generation.
Yeah.
Like there was another South Park episode. They're so fucking brilliant. There was one where it was a flag and it had the original South Park flag was a bunch of stick figure white people hanging a black dude.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get like rid of the flag. And all the kids were like, why? And it was like, Chef was like, don't you kids know what the fuck this? And then the kids gave a speech where it was like, you know, it's part of our history that back in the day, people did horrible things and these people hung this person. They didn't even perceive that it was a black person. They just saw people hang a person. Everyone was like, so you didn't even see that it's... And they're like, no. Like, it was almost like one generation put their shit on it.
Absolutely.
That's why those guys are so... Because you see that shit a lot. We'll say something and someone will trigger and you're like, oh, I'm not from that generation. Like, you don't... It's bizarre. It's
well,
so interesting.
You know, it's my girlfriend's Canadian.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, when she's hanging out with her friends, like, you know, sometimes she'll call the guys boy or whatever. You know, just
yeah.
In that kind of. But, you know, for me, because I grew up, like, I was born in 76. And I grew up watching Good Times where, like, you know, boy is a white man's word. You know
right.
what I mean? So, like, when she used it on me once and I was like, I can't.
I can't do this too much.
Yeah. I got too much emotionally invested in that word. Like you gotta find another way to.
Yeah, because no matter how much we read and how open minded we are, we still all have triggers.
Oh, absolutely.
We all do. Where it's like, don't fucking talk to me that way, especially comics, because we're all in some way from a heart of darkness.
Oh yeah,
where it's like we're Bane, man. It's like fucking. You don't know what I've been through to get to this. So you're just like, you know, one time my girl, I was doing Pasadena and this monster in the crowd, looked like Tyson. I think he might have a facial tattoo.
Yeah.
He started like, I was doing the most benign joke and he was just like, motherfucker, blah, blah. It was crazy, right? There's an episode called Something with a Monster. I record it. But afterward, I kept engaging with him. And afterwards, she was like, why do you have to do that? I'm like, So I told her the tale of the scorpion and the frog and nature and all that shit, where it's like, do you know the scorpion and the frog?
No.
So it's this old parable. I love this shit, though. It kind of sums up everything.
Okay.
Where there's a frog and a scorpion, and they're sitting on a log, and there's you know this one, the water's raising? And the frog's like, or the scorpion's like, hey, frog, will you swim me to shore? And the frog's like, no, you're a scorpion. You'll sting me. And he's like, if I sting you, we'll both die. I would never do that. And the frog's like, but you're a scorpion. He's like, but I wouldn't do that. And so the frog's like, okay. So frog starts swimming. Scorpion's on the back. And halfway across the pond, the scorpion stings the frog. And as they're both sinking to their death, the frog's like, why would you do that? And he's like, because I'm a fucking scorpion.
Yeah. It's I love that story. It was told in a different way in that, I want to say Pulp Fiction, but it wasn't. Where it's like this lady rescues a rattlesnake and it's sick. And the lady takes it in and she mends it and gets it back together. And as soon as this rattlesnake is healthy, it bites and kills her.
Yeah.
And she's like, why would you bite me? And he's like, because I'm a rattlesnake, bitch. And it's just like, what'd you think was going to happen?
Yeah, what'd you think? Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. It's just there's certain natures that, you know, you can change certain stuff. I remember I did Montreal maybe in 05 or 06 with a dude who wrote, she's just not that into you. Remember that guy?
Yeah. Oh.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
And I remember I was just going through a breakup at the time, and I was just talking to him, and he was like, yeah, you can change some shit. Like where you put the towel or like how you know, like don't say boy, like shit like that. But like there's certain fundamental shit that you got to line up early because it's just too hard to change, man. It's like your record gets pressed.
They have a core. Everybody, like you have to recognize their core and then move from there.
Yeah, because I have a core that the good part of it is it's like works hard and is ambitious and good to people and all that. But the bad part, it's like, If I feel attacked, I'll burn the bitch down.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, dude, I don't, fuck you. I don't, you know, it's almost like.
We're both going to sink.
You know how you, like, if you ever know people that have suffered from, like, sexual abuse and stuff like that, where it's like, sometimes they'll become very promiscuous because it's like, I'll fuck you before you rape me,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
And so it's almost like that with a lot of comics because we have, like, certain emotional things where it's like, dude, if you commit me, I will make sure I'm never invited in this club again.
Yeah.
Like, I will. It's almost that Kaiser Sose shit where it's like, I'll kill my family so you won't.
Right, right. Man, that was the best scene in every movie.
He showed these men of will what will truly was.
I was like, man.
And I mean, that's what comics, to get anywhere in stand-up, you've had to go through shit where people are like, get the fuck off the stage.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck you.
And
you're an athlete too. So, I mean, you're on a different plane of competition.
Steve Harvey had a show at the Wiltern.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many the Wiltern holds, but it was sold out. And I want to say it holds like a couple thousand, right? And it was a showcase. So I only had 3 minutes.
Yeah.
My first joke, I get up there and immediately booed by the entire.
Right.
Audience, but I keep going.
Totally.
Do I put my mic down? Nope.
Yeah.
Do I stop? Nope. I keep going like they're applauding me, like they're cheering me on, like there's love. And I realize, like, getting booed by one person sucks,
right?
Because it's so distinctive. But by thousands, it's kind of like invigorating. You're like, you all hate me.
Yeah.
Bring it. You know what I'm
saying? Be like, I've unified you people. Yeah. Instead of 8 miles, it should be called 8 minutes.
Right.
Dun, 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 dun.
Palms are sweaty. And then Steve Harvey walks out, and I'm still going. Like, I don't care. He walks out, and he puts his arm around me, and he's like, it's going to be all right. I was like, I know. I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's in my head, I'm just like, whatever.
It must have been like, because you played D1 college football.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of athletes are really good at comedy because of their perseverance. Like Joe Rogan, legend.
Right, absolutely.
Like a lot of these dudes are like, I almost have a sense that when you've been through that type of competition, like an audition or like a stand up, you're almost like, what the fuck is this? I'm not going to get killed.
I still have like my coach's philosophies running through my head at the end of the day.
Right.
Because especially like you walk into a room. And you see guys who may be more talented than you or, you know, just ahead of you in whatever area. Or you're like, man, I just saw that guy in a, you know, Steven Spielberg movie. And now we're in the same room, you know. And I just remember, like, my coach, like, I played defensive end and I had, like, 25 sacks that year. So it was something crazy. And I was like, coach, all the other players are saying I only have that many sacks because I played a weak side. I played weak side defensive end. And coach was like, yeah, but you still got to make the play.
Yeah.
And that DN's always.
DN's one of the toughest positions. You got to contain.
Yeah. That always stuck with me because it's like so many people walk around complaining about, oh, that person made it because they're rich or they're faster or they're taller or they're good looking or whatever it is. But even if you're born with every gift, even if you're born with every advantage, you still have to show up. And you still have to make the play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
you still got to nail the art. At some point, no matter what nature's given you, it's at some point it's just going to be you in the room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And for every and everything that people think is an advantage,
it's also a disadvantage.
I'll show you a million ways that can go south.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like for example, I mean, just name anybody. There's like some people would look at me and be like, oh, tall, white, male. It's so fucking easy. I'm like, I'm 6'7". You know how many parts I've lost because the chick is 5'1"?
You can't do any sitcoms.
No, I can't. I can't do like any kissing scene. Any girl under 5'3", it looks like I'm molesting a child. You know, and it's like there's so and there's so many white males in comedy that it's a lot harder to like but at the same time I've had a million advantages for it. It's mm-hmm. Everything has okay, look at D'Elia. Like someone
yin
could be
yang.
Like
everything's is just always gonna be
yeah. I heard some dude be like, oh, Chris D'Elia's dad was a big director. I'm like, that can hurt you just as much as it helps.
He could have been a drug addict.
I know. I'm like, D'Elia's a fucking crusher.
Yeah.
I'm like it's like to get that comedy from like a life that isn't necessarily as like, you know, with benefits is actually harder.
That's
and then
right.
Having to live in someone's shadow and then ascending and then doing it all on your own in stand up.
Just like Aziz Ansari.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah, no, I gotta respect all comics. I gotta respect all comics, even if they act like little pricks in fucking comedy clubs. But that's fine.
Now, you know what, Maria? I'm listening to Arnold Schwarzenegger's book right now.
Yeah,
and he's talking about that same thing of like how an advantage, quote unquote, could be a disadvantage.
100%.
Because Maria Shriver, you know, she grew up at Kennedy, but the downside of the way she grew up was that she's very isolated, and so she never really was able to develop any ideas or thoughts on her own because she had to do as the family did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like what your input is.
Right, absolutely. And so like there was one part where Maria asked her Arnold like what her brother's favorite color was, and he was like, blue. And she was like, how'd you know that? He goes, because the entire family's favorite color is blue.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
many disadvantages from that.
It's so many disadvantages. Yeah.
It takes so much more effort to stay happy and loving when you're from a giant, like, rich. Like, the Waltons are fucked.
They're done.
Like, they people, like, have envy for them. It's like, they're a mess.
Nope.
They don't know who they are. They don't know what. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we're monkeys. And if we don't, like, life changed so fast that if we don't have some kind of struggle, we just feel this sense of guilt.
Yeah. I did a show the other day where it was for, like, this nonprofit. And, like, basically it was, like, a bunch of old, rich, white dudes who give money to, like, urban youth. And so they had Michael Williams from the Detroit Lions there. And, excuse me. And at one point, one of the members asked Mike, like, Mike, I was born with, he was like this old Jewish lawyer. He's like, I was born with every advantage, you know, and you came from nothing. You had absolutely nothing. And you basically won the lottery going to the NFL. He was like, how'd you do it? You know, coming from nothing. And I had everything. And it's like, and I just sat there like, what do you mean nothing?
Right.
Like his mom was there, right?
Man, oh, yeah,
both
love.
Parents weren't there, but his mom was there. And the fact that he grew up in such adversity, right, really was the thing that built his resilience that made him successful in the NFL. Because I know a lot of guys when I was in college who could not mentally deal with football camp. Just the 2 or 3 weeks of camp that you have to go through, which yeah. where it's just all football, and you're going through 2 or 3 practices a day, mentally would give up their football scholarships and pack their stuff and go home because they haven't built up that inner fortitude
to
be able to deal with this.
Totally.
And so when people – I hate when people look at, you're from a poor family, a poor neighborhood or whatever, and see that as a disadvantage when really it's a disadvantage for some because they can't handle it, they crumble. But others like LeBron James, it makes them stronger.
Yeah.
You know, it makes them more of a leader. It makes them focus better because everything around them is so crazy. They have to hyper focus. They have to go to training. They can't take a day off, you know, because
totally.
They have no wiggle room. When you know your mommy and daddy can pay for everything, that gives you freedom to, I can miss practice, or I don't have to study, or I don't have to whatever. I'm going to get into Harvard anyway because my dad went to Harvard.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's interesting, man. And there's a difference about like wealth. Like my parents are both professors, so they were money poor but time rich.
Got you.
So I mean, I've said that like my mom's a professor to someone before, and they're like, "Oh, so you came from like money?" I was like, "She made $7,000 a year." It's like,
wow.
Like adjunct professors don't make shit.
They don't make anything.
And
right.
But they were time rich. Like they were love rich. It was like I was raised with all the opportunities in the world because they told me I could express myself. They told me that I was good and that fucking, you know, we had a lot of problems, but it was like at the same time there's different types of wealth, and these little fuckers will be like I had everything. It's like, what you mean cars and shit?
Yeah,
like how is that everything?
Right.
Like you weren't given a piano in fucking 6 hours.
Yeah, they got
you know what I mean?
They had those kids up. It was a book written called like the Malibu Kids or something, and it was about like how these kids in I think the late 80s early 90s were all killing themselves, overdosing on drugs.
Saudi Arabia's like that.
Yeah, because their parents were so wealthy, but they were never home. And so there was nobody to supervise all these, you know, the teenage kids. And so they were just getting into trouble, getting into drugs. And like so many of them overdosed just from like nobody like looking at after them.
Yeah.
And it was just like...
Because you got to have the love. Because I know rich families that are doing great because
right.
they didn't substitute money for love.
Right.
Because money's great if you view it as opportunity, where it's like we have this freedom to do this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Versus like because we have money, we don't have to hug you and shit. You
but
know?
If I have a kid, they're definitely going to boarding school. Shipping them immediately.
Get out.
If I got boarding school money, my kid is pyong.
That's hilarious.
Get out of here. Done.
You tour
me.
With Callen. I love Callen.
Yeah. He's hilarious.
Callen's got one of the best podcasts out there.
Yeah, Fighter and the Kid.
Well, Fighter and the Kid is getting over. Well, you just did it.
Yeah, I just did it, man.
2 million downloads.
I got so many followers just from that podcast. I was like, are you kidding me?
It's an institution. But here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. His podcast, which you also did, I heard you on that. It was awesome. The Brian Callen Show, I love that one because that's the one where he analyzes books and shit.
Absolutely.
He's a smart motherfucker.
I don't even know where he stores it. Like, I feel like he has a Google chip in his neck.
Yeah.
Because he's, not only does he, like, he remember historical events, but the details, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he'll start talking about, like, the Roman Empire, and then he'll start talking about where the origin of the word Roman, and then the origin of the word origin. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, the dude is just, his brain is on another level.
I know. And, like, I did a couple of dates with him years ago, and I remember seeing him work out. And he'll work out for 20 minutes and be chiseled.
Done. Done. He's
he does
a genetic
this crazy
beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We work out together now. And the dude, he has more stamina than I do, and he's like 10 years older than me.
He's just a beast.
Animal.
Do you still fight? You box and stuff, right?
I take boxing classes, but I don't do anything. You got to protect the face, man.
Got to protect the face.
Can't
you ever just do body shot sparring just for the workout?
Nope. Because you know why? Because there's all you don't know what kind of day the other guys had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
Callan still does it. God bless him, but not Leo Flowers. No, sir.
I want to get better at fighting, but I also am the same way. I'm like, I don't want to be hidden like near my liver.
Nope.
But at the same time, I'm also always thinking like, what happens when the oil runs out and shit? Like, I might have to throw some punches.
Hey, you know what? Here's the thing I tell dudes is like, every dude thinks he needs to know how to fight. I say you just have to be willing to fight. That's all it is. That's all a woman wants, right? A woman, like, every dude, no matter how tough you are, you could get knocked out. You know, Mike Tyson's been knocked out.
Right.
Everybody gets knocked out, right? But you have to be willing to step up to the plate. You have to be willing to step between, you know, an attacker and your woman. You know, somebody breaks in the house, get the fuck out of bed, go see what's going on. Don't get up under the bed, you know what I mean?
Have you seen the Rick Ross documentary that came out yet?
Nah.
Freeway.
Nah, I heard
it. I just watched it last night.
Yeah.
That dude's like 5'7", and he was like the kingpin.
That's crazy.
Bro, I finally, I'm starting to believe the government had some weird, like, because whenever I would tour with Roy Wood, all his buddies in Alabama would be like, the federal government started crack to, like, get black people in prison. I'm like, fuck, you're full of shit, you know? And then you watch this documentary. Holy shit, it's kind of real.
You like see straight out. Go ahead.
The CIA fucking pumped crack into L.A.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
People don't. Look, money. The people need money.
But the duplicity. How do you sleep at night? Listen, night, I'm no moral high ground guy. I've done some crazy shit in my life.
Right.
But it's like, if you're Ronald Reagan, how do you sleep at night fighting a war on drugs and then you're also the biggest drug dealer in the world? Like, how do you do that?
It goes back to that interest position thing.
Oh, yeah. Good
you
point.
I mean?
That's a very good point.
There's always going to be a conflict of interest. It's never, you know, nothing's black and white. There's always some gray. And, yeah, that's a ugly, messed up gray area to go into of, like, what the hell was on both sides of the table that was like, hey, let's do this. Let's kill, you know, black people, or have them kill themselves, quote unquote.
Well, and they were arguing, which I kind of believe a little, that they didn't know that was the crack era, that they were just like letting Noriega pump coke, and then it just like was also oddly became this crack epidemic amongst black people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more negligence than gross negligence. But like, oh man, I mean, you ever listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History?
Yeah.
Okay, so one thing that he says that I love is what you have to remember is the fear of the time. So Cold War shit, maybe they were that scared of like nuclear bombs and stuff and losing to Nicaragua to the communists and stuff that they would do crazy shit. I don't know, but it's fucking
wild.
You
know, and it goes back to, you know, what we were talking about in the very beginning of like the whole like cop brutality.
Yeah.
Everything's laced in fear. Anytime you see somebody doing something like, why are we going to Mars? Because we're afraid that, you know, planet Earth is seeing its last days. Like, we're afraid a meteor is going to hit us, or that, you know, the drought. I mean, look at the wildfires up in Northern California. Like 23,000 people, I think, have lost their homes or something like that.
And it doesn't help that we got the fear drip in all the news channels. It's just literally a drip, 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 drip. Just fear, 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 fear.
And that whole thing with even with the crack in urban neighborhoods is like, it's also like that boiling frog. Of like, I bet you originally it wasn't like, yo, let's dump crack in a black neighborhood.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, well, what are we going to do with this crack that we have, that we've gotten from drug busts and trades and shit like that? And then it probably was one of those things where I bet you cops were using it to leverage information.
100%.
I bet you it was a slow thing of like, you know, hey, we need this, and why not give you the drugs or instead of money? Because they do it with money.
Yeah.
Right? And so it becomes drugs. Why don't you take this? And then all of a sudden it becomes, oh shit.
Because a lot of the fucked up stuff starts good and
starts
ends bad.
Good.
Yeah, it's like
bad.
It's like
absolutely.
How people are pissed about unions and how much shit they unions started with like Rockefeller making people sleep in tents next to an oil refinery. It was like great.
Yeah.
And then it became to the point where a lot of these companies are moving to China and everyone's like, what the fuck, unions? Like, well, it didn't start that way. Same with tenure.
Yeah.
Or some of these professors. Tenure is a great thing when you're dealing with like an institution can fire you based on your beliefs. You have to have a thing where you can't be fired, and then you know people can abuse it. It's the same with that shit. You're 100% right.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I mean, like the government isn't that evil or that visionary.
Yeah, totally.
But it just becomes.
You got
a
your
thing
degree
go,
in psychology,
oh,
right?
Right. Absolutely.
You're one of my favorite people: athlete, psychologist, stand-up comic.
There it is.
Chiseled.
Triple threat.
Where can people find you?
LeoFlowers.com. I also have a YouTube channel where I do book reviews also. And I have some stand-up on there, so check that out. And then I'll be at the San Jose Improv not San Jose Improv, but I'll be in San Jose. I forget the name of the club. With Brian Callen,
nice.
September 25th through 27th.
Go to that, everybody. That's going to be an insane show.
Insane.
I don't know if you guys seen him or Callen live, but it is a 1-2 punch.
Insane in your brain.
And after doing Fire and the Kid, I don't think you need my people because that's literally, you basically just did Oprah 5 times in a row. I mean, that thing is powerful. Byrne just
incredible.
Did it too, and he was like, Jesus.
It's
everything's blowing up.
Incredible, dude.
I'm on the road right now, owenbenjamin.com/tour. I'm also at the Hollywood Improv. This is coming out Thursday, so tonight, 8 p.m., come to the Hollywood Improv, see Why Didn't They Laugh live. We'll be doing some debating, some master debating. So come out. Much love. Peace. If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. No need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.